So good evening and welcome everyone to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Ryan and I am an alcoholic.
Hey Ryan.
Hello. We will only be recording and publishing the audio portion of this meeting. You can sign up for email or listen to previously recording meetings at our website, simpleactions.net. For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God. The Simple Actions Group wishes to a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. On Zoom, you can raise your hand and someone will chat with you. All right. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving on the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that the book Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a clear set of directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism based on simple actions. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA simple action. And I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step 12. Please welcome our panel this evening, Mark and Calvin. All righty. So I will read the first paragraph on page 89, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. All right. So step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Page 89. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. That's our first reading. One of you would like to go first.
I'm Mark, alcoholic. I'm happy to be with you all. First, I want to get that clear. I'm grateful to be with y'all tonight, grateful to be sober, grateful to be able to share in step 12, and I have a quiet voice sometimes. If it gets too quiet, let me know. Step 12 to me represents, I'm going to start out with the step itself. I didn't get any particular boundaries. I think I'm just going to start right on the step, haven't had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. And a person has to ask themselves what that is, I guess. I've asked myself many times. But when it My spiritual awakening was as a result of working the steps. I listened, I heard the message, and I had a really, really profound 12 step presented to me that I have to this day haven't forgotten. I was just for a minute, I'll take on sharing a little bit about that because it means so much to me. I was doing what alcoholics do. I was drinking to the point of my life was in danger. People around me started to realize that my drinking was out of control and they were scared for what may happen to me. And so I had a brother that him and my mother got together and they set up this meeting for me to go to with, they sent him out to get some help, which was odd in itself because he was a big drinker in himself. So he went out to get help and he got some literature. He was in the Navy and went to the chaplain and he got literature from the chaplain about the questions of AA. How do you decide if you're an alcoholic? And he read them and thought, oh my God. He went back to my mother and said, we're all in trouble. We're all alcoholics. So he went and got help and he approached me and, you know, one in one ear and out the other. So he went and got himself some help. And through that help, he fell into some pretty serious AA folks, that old timers that were around. And he attended regularly and kept coming to me and 12-stepping me and one in one ear and out the other. I couldn't get a grip on it. So when things got really bad to the point where, you know, I could hardly, you know, it was very rare that I could hold my hand steady. And I decided to go ahead and go to the meeting with them. And it was, I walked in the room, there was 12 people in that room and it was a setup. It was like, oh my God, a setup. And they went around the room and couple things happened that night, not to burn up too much time. But they there was Al-Anons and AA in there, which was really a gift in itself. But the guy that shared his story that reached me, everybody spoke, well, most of the guys spoke, told me a story and it reached me. And I heard that higher power for the first time in my life. And I was sold on it. I was sold on it. I believed it. I believe he was a drunk. He was telling me the truth. He told his story. I walked out of that room convinced that that man had something I wanted. But I couldn't put it into... The higher power would not work for me. I couldn't get the God image in my life. So I went on many years of drinking and then come into kind of what we're going to talk about tonight. You know, I carried the message, but I couldn't get God to work in my life. I couldn't get God to do what it seemed to be doing for people in AA. So the step is, I'll stop there in that story, but the step means a real lot to me because I carried it out of there. And when things kept getting worse and worse and worse, I started to, you know, pop into a meeting here and there and years went by. And so my personal experience is that is really my personal experience that I kept going down the slippery slope and drinking because it was the only thing I knew that would relieve me of what that alcohol was doing to me. I couldn't cope with life. I could not carry, you know, stay employed. I was suffering all across the board. And so when I finally came back around to AA and I started to actually sit in the rooms and work the steps, I started to hear these steps. And one of the things I say about step 12 that's reading this reading and reading the big book out of it is that they were dealing with a lot of really new people in AA, in people in step one. I would assume that when I approach people with a 12-step work today, that a lot of them seem to be in and out of meetings and been around, but I had no meeting. I didn't know what alcohol, what being an alcoholic was. I didn't know there was any help. I didn't know any of that. So I was approached and heard it. And you know, I think I'm going to stop there, even though that's just a story. It is a story that is the reason I'm here today, because of that, what I heard from that man in that room that night.
I'm Calvin, alcoholic. I have a sobriety date. That's January 16th, 2018. I have a sponsor. I sponsor other men, and I have a home group, which is Downtown Young and Sober, which meets on Thursday night in downtown Norfolk. The 12-step was my life for the first, it still is, but it was kind of balls to the wall, you know, for my first three or so years of sobriety. And I say that, I mean, I would find alcoholics anywhere I could find them, and I would hang out with them, and I would bring them home, and I would hang, like, it was my life, you know, it encompassed all of it. If somebody needed a place to crash, it would be my couch. If somebody needed anywhere to stay or a ride anywhere, I would do it. And I can't do that now because, like, I have a baby and a wife, so it's kind of more complicated a little bit. But I try to do that wherever I can today. And it doesn't look like it did when I first got sober. And I'm still trying to figure out what that 12-step looks like in my life today. But it's vital to my recovery that I do it. It's vital to my recovery that I reach out to the newcomer, that when I see somebody who's in a meeting dying, I do what they did to me at this meeting when I first walked in. I showed up at this meeting drunk as hell, still parking spot, and I got out and I had a hoodie on like this, and it had burn holes in it, and I was shaking, and they were like, "Hey, are you new?" And I was like, "How do you know that?" You know? and I was so angry and so upset, and they were like, "Here, sit here, you know, you don't have to do anything." And they hand me a pamphlet, and this pamphlet, like you were talking about, it had a checklist, and it was like, if you ever do this, this, and this. But the one that stuck out to me was, do you ever black out when you drink? And I was like, every time. So then I Googled it. Is it normal to black out when you drink? And it's not. It's not normal for everybody to black out every time they drink. And I did not realize that was a thing. I was raised by two alcoholics in recovery. My entire family is either sober or not. So I like to think that my parents have been 12-stepping me and my siblings for like years, just waiting to come in the door, you know? And I made it. My brothers and sisters did not. They're still after chugging along, but my sister died of this. And so it's very important to me that every time I see somebody who is young like me or scared like me, that I reach my hand, because I know how shitty it is to be scared and be 20, 21 and walk in this room thinking, you didn't drink for a long time. Right, I didn't drink for a long time, but it was a good time, you know, for a while, until it was very, very bad. And the people in this room showed me that, and they showed me what it was like to drink or to not drink, you know what I mean? And having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, I heard somebody put an emphasis on that one time, and it stuck with me, because that is the entire point. And when I sponsor somebody, I make that a very potent explanation as the result, because they're like, I can't get behind the God thing. And for some reason, I always get like the atheists who only listen to heavy metal, you know? And they're like, man, God's bullshit, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, man, you know, you do you. How about we go along and see what happens, you know? And I'm like, that is the entire point of these steps, is to have that. I have had a burning bush moment, and I have had very, very educational spiritual experience where I go, oh, that's what that is. I'm being an asshole. And to me, that's like a light flicks. And it's like, oh, wow. And to watch somebody do this, to see them, their eyes just brighten, and they shine, and they go, they got it, you know? It's just beautiful, man. I've sponsored, like, since I've been sober 4 years, probably about 18 dudes, and I think three of them are still sober. And I don't know where the rest are, and I hope that they're okay, but it doesn't, as shitty as it sounds, it doesn't matter whether they're sober or not, because I am here to get the next guy who walks. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. Thank you. All right, we will continue on page 91. See your man alone if possible. At first, engage in general conversation. After a while, turn the talk to some phase of drinking. Tell him enough about your drinking habits, symptoms, and experiences to encourage him to speak of himself. If he wishes to talk, let him do so. You will thus get a better idea of how you ought to proceed. If he is not communicative, give him a sketch of your drinking career up to the time you quit, but say nothing for the moment of how that was accomplished. If he is in a serious mood, dwell on the troubles liquors have caused you, being careful not to moralize or lecture. If his mood is light, tell him humorous stories of your escapades. Get him to tell some of his. Mark?
I have had covered sharing with a lot of people. The first few years I was in the program, I hardly talked to anybody, to tell you the truth, but I went to a step study meeting when I finally got sober, and I read the steps out of the 12 and 12 for years, and worked on step 1, 2, 3. And every once in a while I'd pop into another step. I heard all the steps, but I stayed at 1, 2, 3. And so when I see, when I had opportunity to share my story with some people, I was always a little cautious about coming on and being so strong with people because of my own personal experience. And I think for the most part that that works pretty good for especially newcomers, and in telling them that we start thinking about, you know, what we're getting from this program, you know, spiritually, and how we're passing that on from one another in the hand of AA. And I really had opportunities to share with a lot of people over the years. I haven't did a terrible lot of serious sponsorship where I was connected to somebody for years and years. I've had that come and go in my life, and I stayed with my home groupers and my people, and I was sponsored probably better than I was the sponsor. I got the message, I carried it, and I tried to present it wherever I go. I try to carry it with me. So, you know, and I think that, as it says, you know, there's nothing quite like sharing the message with people that there is a way out. Our stories mean so much, and you know, my stories of my alcoholism mean so much, you know, to when I pass that along to people. So I have a large group of people that I see and associate with that, I kind of felt like I was always sponsored by committee, and I feel like I kind of do that myself. So but I think gentle hands, and I think people need to feel welcome in AA. I think that's one of the biggest things about AA, is when you come through the door, to feel welcome and comfortable. And the message is pretty, I think, pretty well said around the rooms of AA from what I hear. I've been sober since 87, and I've been to all types of meetings, but I've found that compassion and love that I felt from my first meeting is what I've tried to carry throughout my life. So that's all I got on that. Thank you.
I'm the exact opposite when it comes to sponsorship. I was given a gentle hand when I got here, you know, but very quickly after that, it was like, do the steps, you know. And I needed that. Everybody is different, and everybody responds differently to different forms of sponsorship and different forms of guidance and spiritual guidance in your life. I responded to, hey, I'm going to be your sponsor. Hey, we're going to do the steps. And then, I don't want to say being accosted about how I am on the steps, but like, it was aggressive, and I needed that because I was doing nothing and I was dying. And these men who were around me could see this, and they were like, and I'd go to meetings and I'd raise my hand and I'd be like, I'm dying. And they'd be like, what are you doing about it, man? You gonna do anything? You're just gonna keep showing up and telling us that you lost your car and your girl's leaving you? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, okay, well, you know, when you want to do something, we'll be here. And I'm like, okay. And I got a sponsor fairly quickly. And this man, I did not particularly like. I did not enjoy his presence, but he saved my life. And I will be forever indebted to that man for that. I don't think that I would be here if he, I did not, again, I did not call him. This man called me. I was so terrified of you guys and of what you represented and the change that was coming in my life that I couldn't see past that. And this man presented it as very kind and loving. And then we jumped into the steps, you know what I mean? And then I sat on them. I've done the steps a couple ways, and I give my sponsees the options of how they would like to do them. And I either from the big book through the 12 and 12, or if they want to do like flashcards almost, where it's kind of like the Cliff Notes version, and we do it in a day, you know, and we run through. And it usually my guys are dying and want the help. And so they'll be like, let's do it in a day. And then they get through. And then about 6 months later, they'll be like, hey, man, do you think we could go back and do it kind of deeper? And I'm like, absolutely. And then we go back through. And that's beautiful in and of itself. But I did my first steps out of the big book, and I didn't feel anything. I felt no relief. I didn't feel a big moment after my fourth step. I just felt like, okay, let's do this. And then over time, I know other people noticed the change in me before I did, kind of like it says, and just like I do now. But I was sitting at a meeting, and they were like, hey, I was with a friend of mine. Again, I would drive drunks everywhere, and me and this dude rolled deep every meeting. And they were like, you guys are kind of like glowing today. What's going on? And I was like, I don't know, same, going to work, doing the same stuff. And they were like, okay. And then I thought about it, and I had been praying every day. I had been believing in something. I don't know what I was praying to, but I was praying and I was doing it. And that's what was taught to me early on. It was hammered home that do the steps or die, essentially. And that's why I'm here. I'm not here to really share my feelings. I'm not really here to tell you, oh, I wrecked my car, blah, blah, blah. It can be, right? But I try to tie all of that into how can I help you and what it was like and what I'm going through today and how I'm dealing with it, not just to explode on you, because I don't feel like that's beneficial to anybody. It wasn't beneficial to me, maybe to relate to you, but I didn't see any recovery in that. You know, I showed up, and if you were doing that, I was like, damn, this is not what I want. If you're 30 years sober and you're just vomiting this and your life is terrible, I don't want that. I don't want what I have now, but I definitely don't want what you have. That's terrible. You know, but the people who were like, hey, you know, I have really bad anxiety today, and I'm trying to deal with it. I just finished my eighth step, and I see that these people are actually doing it. I'm like, I'm going to follow that. And the winners, they say stick with the winners in AA, right? And I hate that term, because we're all losers. This is the bottom of the barrel. You know what I mean? I didn't show up here on a winning streak, you know, but I've reassessed that. And I've said, the winners are what? The people who are happy. And that's what I want to be today. I look at the people who come in here and smile and shake my hand and go, hey, how are you? I haven't seen you in months. I thought you were on deployment. And I'm like, no, just wrapped up in self, you know, haven't been going to as many meetings lately, you know, and that's where I check myself. And I go, damn, you know, is that what I want to be today? You know, and I'm very open with my sponsees and honest. And I try to tell them exactly where I'm at. You know, if I'm having a bad day, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We're humans, we're adults. And I don't put my sponsor on a pedestal, not even a little bit, you know, and I don't expect them to put me on a pedestal, because that is the worst place for me to be. You know, I will fall and let you down very quickly. So very quickly, I'll let them know, hey, yeah, I got in an argument at work, and me and my girl are fighting, and I want to run my car into a wall. They're like, what the fuck? And you're like, yeah, man, it's great. Want to get sober? You know, but the fact that I deal with that, and that's what I also respond to, is the fact that people deal with these things and stay sober. I love that. That's all I got on that. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Joe.
All right. Continue on page 91. When he sees you know all about the drinking game, commence to describe yourself as an alcoholic. Tell him how baffled you were, how you finally learned that you were sick. Give him an account of the struggles you made to stop. Show him the mental twists which leads to the first drink of a spree. We suggest you do this if we have done it in the chapter on alcoholism. If he is alcoholic, he will understand you at once. He will match your mental inconsistencies with some of his own. If you are satisfied that he is a real alcoholic, begin to dwell on the hopeless feature of the malady. Show him from your own experience how the queer mental condition surrounding that first drink prevents normal functioning of the willpower. Don't at this stage refer to this book unless he has seen it and wishes to discuss it. And be careful not to brand him as an alcoholic. Let him draw his own conclusion. If he sticks to the idea that he can still control his drinking, tell him that possibly he can, if he is not too alcoholic. But insist that if he is severely afflicted, there may be little chance he can recover by himself.
Yeah, that part of this reading, I find it is kind of the crux of it. So I ended up working at step studies for many years. I stayed over to step study and studied it once a week. We met in very small groups and we shared our stories, and people would come in there all the time. New people would come in and we seemed to get a very intimate study of the steps. And these guys, these old timers that took me in, they were my sponsors, and I started to pass on what I was hearing from them. And and what I was hearing was like it said there, that it's just the passing of the word of AA, that there is a power greater than ourselves, and it's the only way that we're going to be relieved of the desire to drink. And it was the only way that I could ever get myself to lay the drink down. And after many years of hardships and bouncing in and out, I did finally had my spiritual awakening, was able to leave the booze, and I started to really work with other people through that step study. And we would became a close to knit group. Matter of fact, there's several people used to be in the old Bill's Simple Actions that were at those meetings. And I think that the other day there was a couple of people in there. And I learned the message of AA and how the simpleness of the program and the spiritual part of the program, passing that on through the steps of AA, I was relieved of the desire to drink, and I was able to carry that message with me for many years now. That through a few really intense working the step situations over the years, but for the people that came in, it would seem like it always was. There was always people that came and went, but mostly the people that approached and I got to know real well. I still have those people in my life, and you know, that I've had for many years, and just through working these steps together. So I am grateful for that part of it. Thanks.
Thanks for sharing. Yeah, I like I said, I identify, or people who are young usually identify with me, and I always get them, and they're always pretty rough around the edges and belligerent and just like me when I walked in here, you know, angry and full of fear. I don't know why I'm thinking about this, but I had two of my sponsees living in my living room at one point, and they decided it was a good idea to go hike for a weekend. And they were like, we're going to get away. But the one couldn't drive because he had the DUI, and the other one was 17. So they're like, will you drive us up here? And I was like, no. So they hopped in an Uber and drove to like Shenandoah Mountain in an Uber. I was like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, yeah, we're going to go find God, man. And I'm like, okay, have fun. They came back 3 days later and they were like, that is the worst thing we've ever done. We had no money to get back. You weren't answering your phone. I was like, what? Why? You guys made that decision, you know? And I don't know why I just thought of that, but it was hilarious. I am still very close to those guys. One of the first guys I sponsored was 17 when he first came in here. He was getting kicked out of his house. His parents had basically given up on him, and he had nowhere to go. And he's not sober today, but he still calls me once a week. And it's beautiful that I can be that example. And he goes, like once a month, he'll call me. He goes, I think I'm ready to go to a meeting. I'm like, all right, I'm coming to pick you up. And he's like, actually, you know what? I got to work. And I'm like, all right, man. You know? And then the other guy, that was one that went on the trip. And then the other guy, he lives on the West Coast now, and he sends me a Christmas gift every year. And it's beautiful. And we don't talk. He doesn't call. He just sends me a Christmas gift. And I'm like, all right, man. You know, and it's beautiful, the relationships that I've built. And I see these guys come in here hopeless and terrified, and their parents won't talk to them, or their girlfriends or their wives don't want to talk to them, and they just do it, or they don't do it and they disappear, you know. And that's pretty sad too. They come in here and they stick around for a couple months, they get the car back or the girl back, and they're like, all right, I'm good. And then they just disappear. And that's terrifying to me, because I know how easily that could happen to me, you know. And every time I work the 12 step, or every time I reach out to somebody, like I alluded to earlier, it doesn't matter whether you stay sober or not, because I will, and I've earned my seat, right? And that sounds very harsh, but it's the fact. And I'm not giving it up for anything, whether my sponsor relapses, or my sponsee leaves, or my wife leaves, or my job fires me, God forbid, you know what I mean? It's just any of these things, as long as I do not drink or take a substance or do anything that will change who I am on the inside today and separate me from God, that's where I am, you know? And I need to be reminded of that by the guys who walk in here and are scared shitless. And I see myself in that and I go, damn, I don't want to be like that. That's horrible. And I remember and I go back and I just feel like a jerk every time, you know, but it's the truth, because I refuse to go back, and I'm willing to walk anybody through that shit, you know what I mean? And clean it up and help get them to where they need to be and guide them. But, you know, I can only do that if I'm living these principles, and I can only do that if I show up and I'm honest, you know, because I can come in here and say, yeah, life's really good right now. Or I can come in here and say, I haven't slept in like 2 days and I'm very tired and I did not want to speak here, you know, and I respond better to that than I would to somebody coming up here and just feeding me whatever BS that they were feeling, you know what I mean? Because that honesty is what attracts me to AA, and that's what I need to be with somebody else in order to spread it and keep it going. Thanks for letting me share.
That's great, Kevin.
All right. We are still on page 91. Continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, a fatal malady. Talk about the conditions of mind and body which accompany it. Keep his attention focused mainly on your personal experience. Explain that many are doomed who never realize their predicament. Doctors are rightly loath to tell alcoholic patients the whole story unless it will serve some good purpose. But you may talk to him about the hopelessness of alcoholism because you offer a solution. You will soon have your friend admitting he has many, if not all, of the traits of the alcoholic. And his own doctor is willing to tell him that he is an alcoholic, so much the better. Even though your protege may not have entirely admitted his condition, he has become very curious to know how you got well. Let him ask you that question, if you will. Tell him exactly what happened to you. Stress the spiritual feature freely. If the man be agnostic or atheist, make it emphatic that he does not have to agree with your conception of God. He can choose any conception he likes, provided it makes sense to him. The main thing is that he be willing to believe in a power greater than himself and that he live by spiritual principles. When dealing with such a person, you had better use everyday language to describe spiritual principles. There's no use arousing any prejudice he may have against certain theological terms and conceptions about which he may already be confused. Don't raise such issues, no matter what your convictions are.
Hmm. Yeah, that's, I was reading this part of it. I was, it's a general procedure, I feel like, sometimes talking to, especially a really a new alcoholic. Oftentimes, these days, I feel like I talk to people that have been in and out, you know, they've been here and back a few times and desperate to come back in. And a lot of them, they want the magic cure, the magic wand. And you know, responding to that is just, you know, working the 12 steps. And actually, the power greater than ourselves, passing it on, being, making it a little bit more available, how it does, how we get to that point through desperation and using the defeat of alcoholism to turn it around and turn it into the very thing that becomes, the desperation becomes the power of what we need to accept, you know, God or power greater than ourselves in our life and move on through to give us what we need to work the steps and learn how to live a healthy life. And some of that is done by, I feel like, just a lot of compassion and love and patience. And if people are really struggling, not taking a drink, you know, every time they walk out the door, they drink. It's a tough situation. I've had people come and go like that over the years that just struggle to stay, you know, off the booze. Like, but mostly the people come back. If they come back to the rooms of AA, I feel like the chances are very good that people get sober. But the percentages aren't good. You know, the percentages of people that. There's a lot of people die from alcoholism, and I feel like I could have died from alcoholism many times. So I feel like the story that I tell people when they in that kind of condition is that there's one thing, you know, is that power greater than ourselves, and the patience to sit in meetings and learn the message, and actually passing that message on is, you know, it's definitely creates a energy field that seems to be propel us into, you know, carrying the message. So I like that part of the step. Thanks,
man. It's funny because the book always tells you be careful about bringing up spiritual ideals or touchy subjects like that, and they don't tell you what happens if you are one who does not believe, and if your sponsee is one who's like a diehard churchgoer, you know. And there's no writing on that. They aren't really like, well, what if your sponsee says that AA is not religious enough? And you're like, man, I've never been hit with that one. What do you mean? And that one threw me for a loop. And I called some people about that one, and they were like, well, did he get sober going to church? Is it doing it for him? And then I had to reposition my thinking about what God was in his eyes and in my eyes, you know, because his faith is different than mine and my faith is different than yours, you know. And I had to phrase it in a way that didn't sound like I was condescending his faith, but basically saying the gist of it was, is your God doing enough for you right now? You know, are you getting it where you need it? How do you know God didn't put AA in your life as an addition to church? How do you know that you weren't put in this position to do this, you know? And I'm a firm believer that my higher power, I got in this argument, my mom was just in town, right? And my mom's been sober for like 30,000 years, right? And I've got my chalkboard in my kitchen, I've written God's plan, right? And she's like, that's predestination. And she's like, you believe that you have no will over this? And I was like, I hope I don't. I really hope that I've got no choice in this. And she was like, you don't believe that. That's some bullshit. You have choice over your life. You just choose to follow God. And I was like, if that's what God's plan is for me, then yeah. And she was so mad by that. But it kind of got me thinking as I'm sitting there arguing with my mother about God. What does my conception of God look like? Because again, it's always changing and it's always growing. And I cannot talk about the 12 step or really any step today without talking about my higher power, which I choose to call God, because it's so much simpler than saying a magic squirrel. You know what I mean? It's just so much easier than just encompassing all of this insanity in my head. And what does that look like? You know, and when I'm talking to a newcomer, I explain that. I explained to them that I used to do a lot of drugs, and I did drugs that made the walls move. And then I had a spiritual experience doing that, you know, and that usually reels them in pretty quick. And that's how I get it, you know? But again, you get people like me who are just, I went to Catholic school. I was that kid who was arguing every step of the way about how none of it made any sense. And here I am on a Monday night in a church that opened their doors to me saying, I don't believe in Jesus, but I got my own God, even though these people were so kind to me. My whole life I was raised, you know, with these principles. And I was raised like, kind of like, it's like Catholic-ish, kind of like the way you're Jew-ish, you know what I mean? It's just, I'm there, you know, and I believe what I believe, but nobody has to prescribe to what I believe or subscribe, you know? And I implore my sponsees to do that, to show up and challenge their own ideas of what God is and take the steps and understand their own awakening and fight that. Because that's really why we're here, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, you know? And if I'm not growing and trying to find that every day, then it's really boring. And I end up just playing a lot of video games and being miserable. Thanks for letting me share.
For sure. All right, now we're gonna jump over to page 94. Outline the program of action, explaining how you made a self-appraisal, how you straightened out your past, and why you are now endeavoring to be helpful to him. It is important for him to realize that your attempt to pass this on to him plays a vital part in your own recovery. Actually, he may be helping you more than you are helping him. Make it plain he is under no obligation to you, that you hope only that he will try to help other alcoholics when he escapes his own difficulties. Suggest how important it is that he place the welfare of other people ahead of his own. Make it clear that he is not under pressure, that he needn't see you again if he doesn't want to. You should not be offended if he wants to call it off, for he has helped you more than you have helped him. If your talk has been sane, quiet, and full of human understanding, you have perhaps made a friend. Maybe you have disturbed him about the question of alcoholism. This is all to the good. The more hopeless he feels, the better. He'll be more likely to follow your suggestions.
Yeah, I like to think the word God is short for whatever you believe. And I also went to Catholic school, so did the whole routine. And I feel like I was introduced to God through my religious upbringing. But I felt like I found God through this practicing of the 12 steps and my desperation for help, needing help. And actually, I think that, the stripping down what I really believe in, stripping it down to the concept of God, to where I knew what I was trying to reach out for when it came time for me to reach, I spent a lot of years working on that, reviewing, you know, what God really meant to me, to the point of the emptier that my mind God is my vision of God and that, you know, one day it just popped, you know, it just popped in what's the saying? And my head popped out of my ass and I just started to realize that I have the power and through the 12 steps of AA. So I don't know how to go on about that, going back to talking about a higher power to another alcoholic is the vaguer I can present it and listen to the answer that the other alcoholic may have or their vision of God. Somehow it seems to work over if there's enough time to do the work, you know, that the power is there. The wording is irrelevant to the power and what we get from what I got from my experience of a surrender to a power greater than myself. And once I cleared my head of all the images and the clarity came, I was able to use it to be relieved of the desire to drink. So that's all I got on that.
Thanks. I lining out a spiritual or a practical, what does it say? I'm sorry. It says, outline a program of action explaining how you made a self-appraisal, how you straightened out your past, and why you're now endeavoring to help be helpful to him. So I start, if they're interested, right? It's step 1, 2, and 3. And it's usually fairly quick for me because you either want to get sober or you really don't. And you're either, when you come to me, you're either dying or you're not. And if God sounds good to you, you're probably dying, you know? And then we get to step 4 and my guys always get so shitty. They get so scared and run away. And before they even start the first step, I usually tell them the worst thing I've ever done. Like, You just told me that. And I'm like, yeah, I did. And I probably was going to go to my grave never telling anybody. And now you and 100 other people know. Congratulations, you know? And that usually gets them to open up pretty quick. And they tell me the same shit. It's always like just the same things. There's nothing new. Everybody does the same messed up stuff, you know? And it's beautiful. And I love it. And I feel so bad for these boys who carry this around, you know, the same way I carry it around. And this shame and this guilt, and you just don't have to, and you just need to make it right. You know what I mean? Although he may be helping you more than you were helping him. I've had plenty of people just be like, I'm going to go find another sponsor. I've said that to my sponsor. And it's a hard conversation. And usually people like build it up in their head. I know I did when I switched sponsors, and it's just, nobody gives a shit whether you want to be your sponsor or not. Like, you can be friends with them. You can't. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to make sure that I don't die. And if you don't want to die, I can help you out a little bit probably. But honestly, go find somebody you can work with. Cause if it's not working with me, good on you, brother. Go do something. You're not doing anything with me if you're leaving. So that's where I stand with that. And explaining what alcoholism is, disturbing them on alcoholism, the question, that's what was done to me very early. What happens when you drink? What are you like? What happens when you don't drink? And that's where it got me. Because when I drank, yeah, I got messed up. When I didn't drink, I did things that made me want to die. And that's why I drank more, I think. And that's why I got so just wrapped up in self, because I was doing these things of a sober mind and body and not knowing why I was doing it. And the worst thing is being sober, having worked the steps and doing these exact same things. And you're like, damn, really hope I don't drink today. You know? It's just like, these things that you think you'll never do. And then always that line gets crossed. And then there's always a way back because I have these steps that I can work and they build on one another and it's beautiful. And then I can get there. But I tell my guys very early on that if I'm going to work with you, you will help another alcoholic, whether that's sponsoring them, whether that's giving them rides, whether that's picking them up from work, whether that's showing up when they need you, but you will be of service because otherwise you are wasting your time, you know? And that's what was explained to me very early on. And I ran with that. And that's every guy I've ever sponsored has been like that, just all service work. And that's kind of the way that I find joy in Alcoholics Anonymous. Cause it'd be very boring just showing up to meetings to me. There's no fun in that. No offense, guys. You guys are great. But I don't enjoy going to meetings particularly, but I enjoy seeing the people at the meetings. And then I enjoy hearing the stories. And then I enjoy leaving the meetings with the people that I brought there. And being sober together. Yeah. You know, that's all I got. Thanks.
All right. And now we will be on page 96. Do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Search out another alcoholic and try again. You are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you offer. We find it a waste of time to keep chasing a man who cannot or will not work with you. If you leave such a person alone, he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover by himself. To spend too much time on any one situation is to deny some other alcoholic an opportunity to live and be happy. One of our fellowship failed entirely with his first half dozen prospects. He often says that if he had continued to work on them, he might have deprived many others who have since recovered of their chance.
Yeah, I think it's tough to keep trying to work with somebody that's not really practicing what we're discussing or what we're working on. And even in the simplest of forms, they have a renegade sort of attitude that they're going to just kind of go do what they want to do and do it their own way. And I can't knock that, really. You know, I think that something that most drunks go through, as far as I could tell over the years. And I think when I was reading a lot, most of the stuff out of the step 12 and thinking that, you know, in that book, that was, you know, that was teaching people how to be a sponsor, teaching people that had nobody with the experience to, you know, to spend that kind of time or have that kind of insight, that there wasn't like coming to these rooms and having so many people available that have worked the program. So I think it was written in a little different light, but I've been through that. And usually my experience, what folks like that, that they fade out, you know, they fade away. You know, they seem to just, you know, go away as fast as they can, or, you know, it's being harsh or hard on somebody or discipline wise. Very rarely has that been part of my, you know, when I was trying to, you know, work with other people, that hasn't been a big part of what I saw. I think people either gung-ho and ready to do it and want to do it, or they tend to fall back off somehow, fall out, drink, get drunk. And so I had a little tougher time with that, thinking about that. I, you know, I think you either commit to it or you kind of fade out from it, and you need a little more research. Yes, is the word. That's it.
Yeah, people, it's really hard for me when not so much sponsees or newcomers per se, but people that I've come close to that go back out, friends, because 12 step work to me isn't just sponsee, right? It's every interaction I have in life is a 12 step work. How can I be of service? Am I practicing what I preach? You know what I mean? And friends and Alcoholics Anonymous that just drop off are very difficult to deal with for me. And it goes through cycles. For some reason, I show up and I do the work, and then they're doing the work for a little while, and then, you know, they quit calling, they quit texting, and then next thing you know, they're not here anymore. You know, and I've had friends die, I've had friends disappear, and I don't know where they are today. It just hurts a lot, you know. And that's what sucks about it. People are always like glamorous about it. They're like, yeah, let's have fun, and they're joking in meetings, but it's life or death, you know. It really is. And I'm either here to do the work, or I'm here to not, you know. And it's pretty much that simple to me. I'm either doing it or I'm not. There's really no middle ground for me personally, because if I'm not, I'm really not. And if I am, I am. And I view it that way today. Because I'm here to save my life, and I'm willing to help you if you want that. But if you're not, then I don't want to waste my time, but I'll be here when you're ready. Just like the guy who calls me once a week. I'm here, man. I answer the phone, but I don't have time to chase you. I really don't. I got my own life. I have my own program. I have my own things that I am dealing with. I cannot babysit you. You have to want it for yourself. Nobody can want it for you. So if you're new and you're terrified, you know, that's normal. Welcome. It gets better sometimes. And it just, it's not as scary as it sounds, you know. Just get it, do it. Thanks for letting me share.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. All right. Well, that is going to conclude the sharing portion of the meeting. And so thank you both so much. We are now going to pass the seventh tradition basket. I don't know what all this is. The seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remains open. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to out the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. They are here to contribute to foster a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Are there any related AA announcements?
I'm an alcoholic. My name is David.
Hey, David.
Grateful to be here. Grateful to be sober tonight. Thank you guys for sharing. This group, 2 weeks from tonight, August 15th, we're going to have a supper and a speaker right here in this room in 2 weeks. 6 p.m. potluck. Bring a dish if you wish. At 7 o'clock at the regular meeting time, we'll have Jared W. from Raleigh, North Carolina. He's going to come tell his story. Over on that table, there's a stack. There's way too many gray or white flyers over there. If you wouldn't mind just grabbing a few and taking them back to your groups on your way out tonight, they're They're not going to do any good in the basket here this week, but all are welcome. Alcoholics, Al-Anons, people of all stripes, you're welcome to come to potluck, supper with a speaker, Jerry Reaver, 2 weeks from tonight. Thank you.
Thanks.
Anything else? Okay. Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group or are in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Will home group members raise their hands? All right. And we also have some literature available. We have big books for sale and the pamphlets are free. See myself or a home group member if you are interested in one of those. And sponsorship. Sponsorship and AA is for the asking. Not delay. Like after we close the meeting, please feel free to talk to any of us. And vendors, smokers, but can provided outside, stay away from the events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. And we have the meeting after the meeting. All are invited and encouraged to join our fellowship at the meeting after the meeting that will be held at Plaza del Sol on 22nd and Colonial. I don't know, half a mile away. Yes. And here's one more clothing. Ask the group to thank. Sorry. Thank you again for sharing.
Thank you.
Yes. And John has volunteered to read the last two paragraphs on page 164. Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you.
And we will now close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Thank you.